In the offertory verse of today's Mass, we sing, O Lord, in the simplicity of my heart, I have joyfully offered all these things. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Take another look at Zacchaeus. I was just singing about him at the gospel, at the altar. He's one of my favorite biblical characters. This funny little man was a 100 percenter, if ever there were one. No little sips of weak tea for him, not at all. If he did it, he did it 100%. So there he is. He hears that our Lord is passing through his town, and forgetful of his age and of his dignity, he climbs up a tree like a boy to get a good look at this Jesus. Zacchaeus makes his money working for the hated Romans, the occupation forces, and as a tax collector. Two strikes against him, surely. That didn't bother him. With great gusto, he went on his way, cheating his fellow Jews as much as he could. This is where he had his profit margin, after all. But then Jesus stops under the sycamore tree, and he looks up at Zacchaeus, and he saw not what he was that day, a traitor, a thief, but what he would be, a right, proper son of Abraham. And then he invites him over, and that would be the communion. I must dwell in thy house this day. And what a preparation Zacchaeus makes for his communion, 100% more. Fully half of his goods are gone now, given to the poor. Did he cheat anyone? Did he? Fourfold restitution to each one. His is the Catholic spirit. So appropriately enough, the offertory verse matches the gospel. O Lord, in the simplicity of my heart, I joyfully have offered all of these things. 15 years ago, your generosity with that of perhaps your parents and grandparents, benefactors long dead but never forgotten, made possible this fine new church and school, which we on that day blessed and dedicated and offered up to God for his glory. So that today, I'm back at the offertory verse, the next line reads, I have seen with great joy thy people who are here present. Still, what is all of this in the eyes of God? God sees only his Son and us only in some relationship with him. His Son is his infinite gift to us. In the offertories of our life, the Mass which we live every day, we offer our yes to God, but as joined to Jesus, as we are by our baptism, our Catholic faith. And that's symbolized by these other things, by our money and our time, by the bricks and the mortar, and by the bread and the wine, which we offer to be consecrated into his body and blood, the perfect gift, Christ Jesus. And we try to make a matching donation as much as in us lies, and thus to give the lie to what you could call the Cain can't. You remember Cain. He was Abel's brother. He offered a sacrifice which God rejected. second best, good enough, the fruits of the earth, but not the first fruits. If that's the spirit that makes us say, oh, you know, you can't really do that, or that would be too much, or that's too long, or this is too expensive. Abel's brother offered God what was left over, but Abel himself, the first fruits and the best of his flock. Oh, we try. We try not to measure out too meanly. We try not to be like the butcher who secretly puts a finger on the scale so he can charge you more. We try not to cheat God of our due, which we owe him in the name of due measure. But there's always moderation to be considered, isn't it? And we think, well, there's no sense going overboard. Tell that to the saints. Often enough, we pray with a watch instead of with a book or beads, lest we should pray too much. But all of this, never mind, is covered over by the consecration, by the body and the blood. The priest offers, as the offertory begins, bread. Why bread? Well, bread is the staff of life, and in the old days, it was so nourishing, you could live pretty much on bread. And bread is prepared still today with great effort. The grain has to be sown in the ground, and then it has to be harvested, and then it has to be ground down into flour, and then mixed and baked in the oven. All of that is a symbolism of our life and of our work. The Immaculate Host, in unspotted, is offered to God first to be consecrated. It's carefully prepared. It's made out of pure wheat, flour, and water mixed together, nothing else, and then baked. And the host must be fresh. It must be without stain and without break or fragment, or else the priest breaks it and discards it for a fresh one. The hosts used at our Mass in the Latin Rite are unleavened for symbolic purposes as well, because our Lord used unleavened bread at the Last Supper, the first Mass, which reminds us then of the Passover or the Pasch, a powerful symbol. We are led out of the Egypt of slavery and sin through the red blood, the Red Sea of Christ's own blood. And so we, before our Mass and Holy Communion, we're a bit like the Jews, the children of the Jews every spring. Before their Passover celebration, they scour the house for any remnants of leavened bread. And if they find anything, they throw it away and burn it. Because our Lord says to us, I must dwell in thy house this day. We use unleavened bread because otherwise you'd get yeast, and yeast is a symbol of corruption. The bread rises because of fermentation. But the unleavened bread stands for purity, the clean oblation of Malachi the prophet at the end of the Old Testament, the oblatio munda. Our Mass can have nothing to do with sin or with evil. So then the offertory begins. The host is resting upon the paten, and the chalice is covered now with a veil, the symbolism of the passion. The bell rings to call your attention. The priest unveils the chalice first. That would be Christ being stripped of his garments. The lamb, the victim, is prepared for sacrifice. And the first prayer of the offertory, Receive, O Holy Father, is really a perfect consecration prayer already, a prayer of offering. When Father says it, you can think about our Lord scourged at the pillar, because his scourging anticipated his coming death. And that's what's going on in the whole of the offertory. They used to call it the minor canon. Everywhere and always, every time there was any offertory prayer, it always anticipated Christ's presence by the consecration. In other words, the church sees already the body and the blood of our Lord. For that alone is worthy to be offered up to God. Not a bit of bread or some wine mixed with water. But we're there too. We're represented by the little hosts next to the big host at Mass. We're what the theologians call complementary victims. We're not essential to the sacrifice, but we are joined to it. We have our role and we have our place there at the altar. And so the priest sets the hosts apart, presents them to God, and blesses them. Host, the word means victim. St. Gertrude says that when you go to Mass, sometimes you should pray that each blessing, each sign of the cross over the chalice would be made over you to make you worthy to be that complementary victim. So then the priest takes the paten with the host in it and he raises it about this high and he lifts up his eyes for a moment to God, to the crucifix. And he lifts up his eyes because he's the mediator, the go-between God and man. And then he lowers his eyes because he's a man. He's a sinner. He's unworthy. And then he counts his crimes and he cannot. For my countless sins, he says, and offenses and negligences. And not only mine, but yours too. I'm speaking for you, the prayer says, and for all here present. Nor is that all. We are one church, we Catholics, for all faithful Christians, living, and listen, living or dead, that it may avail for my own and for their salvation unto life eternal. How can it avail the dead? Surely they are already gone and judged. Hang on for a moment. When the priest lowers his eyes, he's told to look at the host. He contemplates it not as a wafer of bread, but as Jesus Christ. In other words, not for what it is, but for what it will become, the body, the blood, and the soul, and the divinity of our Savior. Like Christ looking at Zacchaeus, he sees not the miserable man loaded down with his crimes, but what he will be, a dwelling place for our Lord, receiving him under his roof, a tabernacle for the Most High. But as the church looks forward to the future presence, the host is, as it were, offered as though already consecrated, she also looks back to the past to pray for the salvation of the dead. What does that mean? That God would deign to take into account our prayers today at this Mass and apply them to the souls for whom we're praying to help them at that most crucial moment, which is the moment of death, even if that occurred years or decades ago. That's what's expressed in another beautiful offertory verse sung at a funeral at the Requiem Mass. Deliver the souls of the faithful departed from the pains of hell and the deep pit. lest hell swallow them up. For if many souls go to hell because there's no one to pray for them, Our Lady said that at Fatima, may not many souls go to heaven because there is someone to pray for them? Is it too late? It is never too late. Not as long as you're alive. You can merit. You can pray. Remember, God is in eternity. In heaven, there is no yesterday, and there is no tomorrow. It is the ever-present now. How can that be? Behold, another mystery, but follow the lead of the church and look through the window opened at the offertory. Anticipate the future. Adjust the past. Glance into eternity. Use your Mass. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.